Do you have good religion? Do you have good religion? Do you have good religion? Yeah. Has it changed your life? Has it changed your life? Has it changed your life? Yeah. I've got good religion. Does it make you sad? Does it make you sad? Does it make you sad? Yeah. Tell the truth now. Does it make you steady? Does it make you steady? Does it make you study? Yeah. Tell the truth now. Does it make you give? Does it make you give? Does it make you give? Yeah. I've got the religion. I've got the religion.
Listen, there is a word in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 6, that I need to preach today. Nehemiah, chapter 6. I want to read for our hearing verses 1 through 4, and then verse 15 and 16. And as you find it, I would remind us it's time out for playing church. Somebody ought to say amen. If you know that things are not well between God and yourself, today is a marvelous day. Come on over on the Lord's side while you still have time. This is Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, and then we're going to skip to verses 15 through 16. It says, when word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies, that I had rebuilt the wall, and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not set the doors in the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message. Come, let us meet together in one of the villages in the plain of Onan, but they were scheming to harm me. So I sent messengers to them with this reply. I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? Four times they sent me the same message, and each time I gave them the same answer. Verse 15 picks up and says, So the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul in 52 days. When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. I want to talk today about work until finished. Work until finished. The book of Nehemiah is a marvelous book that talks about how God used a layman to give leadership to the rebuilding of the walls around Jerusalem after decades of the wall being down. Nehemiah was confronted by enemies. There were people who had no interest in putting the wall up. Their agenda was to tear it down. And one of the tactics was to distract Nehemiah, slow the work down. But Nehemiah sets a marvelous example of staying focused. Keep the main thing, the main thing. Finish what God has assigned your hand to do. And when Nehemiah was finished, the Bible says that even his enemies were afraid, because it was obvious that nobody could do such a great work in such a short amount of time unless the Lord has his hands on them. And Southern, I say to us as both a church family and as individual believers that God still has a great work for us to do. And there are enemies who get a second wind the closer we get to completing what God has for us. And if we're not careful, we will yield to the request of those who mean us no good, lose our focus, waste our energy, waste our time, and never finish the project. If Nehemiah was here, he would tell us to work until finished. And that's all I'm suggesting to us today, is that we should work on finishing our great work. Now, I gotta say something about great work. Nehemiah's great work was to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. I think I ought to just put this footnote, don't have time to spend much time here, but I ought to tell you that the reason why the first wall came down was because the people sinned. And whenever the people of God get used to sinning, punishment, destruction, and tearing down is not far behind. But if we repent, if we turn from our wicked ways back to God, the same God who tears down is able to revive and build back up in us. Thank God for the revival ministry of Nehemiah. He had the great work of rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem. And I say to each one of us here today who are saved that we too have a great work to do. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are his workmanship, and we've been created in Christ Jesus to do good works. When the Lord saved us, anybody saved in here? Two people over here, anybody over here saved? All right, it's a few people saved. When God saved us, he saved us with service in mind. He didn't save us to sit. He saved us to serve. You and I and us, we need to find the great work that God is calling us to for times like this. As I look at Southern, it is obvious to me that God is calling us to step up and be cabinet members who can help take this church to the next level. We have a surplus of spectators, but a deficit of workers. We need people who can do more than tell us we need to do more with the men. We need people who can do more than say we need to do more with the women. We need people who can do more than tell us we need to do more with the young people. We need some folk who are willing to help us do more with the men, more with the women, more with the young people. We need folk who are willing to step up to be teachers so that we can use our classrooms for more than 1 hour out of a whole week. Somebody ought to say amen. We have a great work to do. Avondale cries out for us to be more than people who look good on Sunday, get our little 2 hour praise on, and then go back home. There's a great work to do. President Smitherman has done a marvelous job of highlighting and making it unignorable that there's a great work to do for our young people and for the people who pay taxes. Let me run over this briefly. There are millions of dollars floating through Cincinnati to rebuild schools. And the population of Cincinnati is easily 50%. Now you gotta remember, some of us run when we see folk counting, but we counted 50% African American population. When you look at the student population, can't nobody argue that we are at least 70%, if not 80% of student population. And yet when we find out how much contract money did we get, we can't find a solid 1% for black folk. They play games with us, and this is so sad, because when you look at the power structure of our own school board, is black. It would be unacceptable, but almost expected, if others were in charge of the school board. But the people that run the school board look like us, and then play us stupid and tell us that we're just minorities. You gotta watch this code language called minority, because women become minority. So the white man's wife becomes a minority. So he running the business, but he get minority credit because his wife is considered a minority. Illegal immigrants can become minority, but yet 50% of us pass the levy to get the project here, and you mean to tell me you only gonna give us 1%? Something is wrong. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday is not a local holiday. That's a federal holiday. Just like they would never think of moving tractors, laying brick on the 4th of July. They would never think about working people on Labor Day. But yet they thought nothing was wrong with working on the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday over and against protests. They can't plead ignorance. We didn't know any better. We didn't know you would be offended. What you think these people out here picketing in front of the line are doing? And what I'm suggesting to us is this Jesus stuff we claim to have ought to be good for more than raising holy hands in the sanctuary. That's good. Raise holy hands in the sanctuary. And then use those hands to cast a vote that's coming up here in May and in November. There's a great work that needs to be done. This South Avondale School got all of these children who need some folk to come down and tutor these kids so that they can pass the tests. And sometimes especially our young boys, need not only tutoring, but they need mentoring. They need some strong, decent men to be present in their life. There's things, and sisters, I'm thankful. There's a lot of single mothers who've done a marvelous job. Standing ovation, hat off to you. You've done a great job. Ain't nobody hating on you. But there are certain things that a boy need a man in his life to help him learn how to do. Mama can only take you so far, and you need to watch a man so you can learn how to do the rest of this piece. Mama can't teach you how to walk like a man, how to stand like a man. She can help you be responsible. She can help you be respectful. She can help you be on time. She can help you pull your pants up. But you need a model in your life. It's almost like putting a jigsaw puzzle together without the benefit of a picture. It's hard to put the jigsaw puzzle together all by itself, but I can't imagine putting the puzzle together and you don't have a picture to go by. And so then there's a need for the great work of mentoring. Not the great work of criticizing young people for being young people, but the great work of helping to shape and mold and direct and aim our young people to something constructive in their life. Had an opportunity to talk with our young people on Friday, and you can't expect to get so much done in a 30-minute block, but it's just obvious that the more our boys grow up, the more we stop treating them as boys, we start treating them like men. And so when you got a little 9-year-old nappy-haired boy, you say, well, he don't know no better, and you love up on him, and you just say, well, he don't know no better, and you work it out. But when that boy get 15, 16 years old, got some hair, peach fuzz coming under his chin, Big Mama and them would say, and start smelling himself, and bulked up a little bit, trying to play a little basketball, football, or something, folk get scared of him. And they don't treat him like a boy. Have you noticed how when, this sounds so racist, have you noticed when people who are not black, 16-year-olds who are not black are considered juveniles? Watch the media. But when a 16-year-old black boy do something bad, he's a young man. Do you know what's the difference between a juvenile and a young man? You don't feel bad tasing a man, but it's bad when you tase a juvenile. It's all right to detain a man, but you gotta treat a juvenile with kid gloves. Watch how the media portrays our young folk, and let's tell the whole truth. Some of the problem we have is we've loved our boys instead of just raising our boys. There's a difference between loving them and raising them. I know you love them, I know you love them, I know you love them, but love them enough to help them understand, boy, when I say have yourself here by 10 o'clock, I mean by 10 o'clock. Well, Reverend, he's a young man and he needs to, you know, he got, no, no, no. The only place in the world where you say 10 o'clock but 10:30 is okay is in your house. When that boy get out here in this real world and the man say be on the clock at 9 o'clock in the morning, and he comes strolling himself in here at 9:30 with an excuse, and then he wonder why is he fired, then he gonna come back and say, mama, the man got his foot on my neck. This is racism. It may be, but you help racism by not teaching a boy how to be on time. And some stuff, that boy need a man in his life to help him get it straight. I'm talking about a great work. It's more than just looking churchy. There's a lot of great work that needs to be done. There's a great work that needs to be done with our families. Great work that needs to be done with soul winning. These empty seats are not indication that all is well in Avondale. These empty seats suggest that there is a disconnect between people in Avondale and the soul-saving power of Jesus Christ. And can I remind us that we are the mediator between Christ and Avondale. Who has been sent to tell Avondale about Jesus if not the church that meets in Avondale? Who you think will come in Avondale and tell these folk that Jesus saves to the utmost? Who do you think will love Pookie and them in Avondale if we don't love them enough? You cannot expect somebody else to come in our community and love us more than we love ourselves. I'm trying to get you to think about great work. This clothing and food giveaway. There's stuff that you still got tags on. You forgot you had it. And you know that you could be a blessing to somebody else. The Foreign Missions Appeal is coming up. Right on the heels of that, we have the Black Colleges coming up. There's so much work to do. Can you see why it's so aggravating to have so much work to do, but so many pew sitters? There's a disconnect when we feel good about the singing of the gospel and the preaching of the gospel, but when it's time to work the gospel, we're missing in action. Keep moving, brother. Keep moving. Great work. Now I'm talking about enemies will come. Nehemiah was focused on doing a great work. And as he saw some light at the end of the tunnel, as he was making good progress, as he could see the end coming, his enemies did not get discouraged and say, leave him alone. On the contrary, they got a second wind. It was a new wave of opposition to the great work that Nehemiah was trying to do. And I say to you, my sisters and my brethren, don't think that when you make up in your mind that you're going to do a great work for the Lord, that the devil just gonna sit back and let you do a great work. Don't think that when you say, well, I'm gonna be a better husband, I'm gonna be a better parent, I'm gonna be a greater disciple of Jesus Christ, I'm gonna do more in my church, I'm gonna do more in my community. I don't want you to think that the devil just gonna say, well, I guess I'll go pick on somebody else. No, no, they only chase you when you have the ball. They only come at you when they think something is going to go well in your life. And these are oftentimes the tactics. They try to distract us and put second things in front of first things. That's how they try to distract us. They move what's most important down the list of priorities and push up on the list of priorities the things that's not important at all. It hurts our heart to see, even in our church, how we can get our priorities twisted. We waste valuable time, valuable energy over silly stuff, power struggles, tradition, procedural issues, and we miss out on the main thing. Who cares how you do it if neither way is working? You want to do it one way that won't work. You want to do it another way that won't work. And can't nobody step back and say, look, we got to figure out a way to work. We don't care how we got here. Where we are is not where we need to be. How do we move along? And this becomes a more urgent matter as birthdays seem to pick up speed going by you. You remember it used to take you so long to get from birthday to birthday. It looked like it just takes so long for the next birthday to come, but they pick up speed. And when you see how fast birthdays are going, but you look at how slow stuff is coming off of your list of things to do. You can't put a check mark next to any of the goals. You're not getting the work. You're talking about the work, but you're not getting the work done. It makes it a more urgent matter. When I look at the silly stuff that distract us in our community, we have this blind loyalty to the Democratic Party. That when a politician comes, first thing we want to know is what party does he represent? So we demonize the Republicans. They always bad. And we idolize the Democrats. They're always right. But listen, let me tell you. If it wasn't for some Republicans, a whole lot of the stuff that we have now, we wouldn't have had. And things could have been better if Democrats would have stopped arguing over silly stuff. Can I remind you, he got mighty close passing his health care reform act, and the Democrats were in charge. I'm sorry, Ozzy. I know Driehaus is our boy, but you slow that track down. Bag it up 2 months ago and see where was Driehaus at. It was pressure, not principle. It was pressure, not principle, that pushed us over to support us. Oh, we can't have permanent enemies, permanent friends, just permanent interests, but let's tell the whole story. Because this blind loyalty to party will distract us from the great work. I don't care what name of your party is. You could be from Mars for all I care. Can you help us get some jobs? Can you get the school system right? Can you make sure Big Mama can afford her medicine? Anybody that can carry out this agenda, I don't care what else you got going for you. You can call yourself the KKK. Can you get some jobs for Pookie and them? Can you figure out how to get Pookie off a drug? Help Pookie get a job so he can pay taxes instead of wasting all of my taxes warehousing him in jail? We must stop this silly stuff. This race card that we oftentimes play, we ought to know after Clarence Thomas. You can be our color without having our agenda. But we can get distracted. We can get distracted from a great work with lesser issues. There are people whose relationships are in trouble today because they have allowed parental and peer expectations to distract them. You allow what daddy and mama and them told you to keep you from being the spouse that you need to be in your marriage. You let single people who can't even keep a boyfriend, let alone a husband, tell you how you're supposed to be a wife in your relationship. You've allowed your boys down at the bar and your girls that you shop with distract you from being who God is calling you to be in your relationship. And I'm here to tell you, it's nothing but a trick of the devil. The closer you get to the finishing line, the more the devil gives attention to you. Don't let the devil use you. I must come in now. I'm trying to say something about great works. God has something for all of us to do. And the more we do God's will, the more enemies will come after us. Now I want to talk about finishing. Nehemiah finished the wall. He didn't just talk about it. He didn't just have blueprints for it. They didn't just have a meeting and pass a resolution. They finished the wall. They finished the wall in record-breaking time, 52 days to rebuild the wall. They finished it so quickly that even their enemies got afraid and said, we better leave them alone because there's no way in the world they could have done all of this unless the hand of the Lord was upon them. And I say to you and to myself today, let's make sure we finish what God has given our hands to do. I say this because too many of us are great starters. We know how to start something, but the problem is we don't finish. It's easy to be in charge in January and February, but it becomes work in March, April, and May. And you know, there's a danger of having a reputation, of being a starter but not a finisher. When you develop a history of quitting, it makes it hard for us to trust you with the next assignment. As much as we want to forgive and forget and call today a new day, we cannot help but remember the last time we gave you a shot. You left us high and dry. And so then, learn how to finish. Now, when you want a model of somebody who can finish, I'm thankful you can go to the Word. Nehemiah was a great finisher. Thank God for Nehemiah. And as I stand here, I'm reminded that even Noah was a great finisher. He finished building the ark. He finished his sojourn on the ark. But I cannot think of a greater finisher than your Lord and my Savior, Jesus the Christ. I heard him say in John chapter 19 and verse 30 that it is finished. Do you know there's somebody sitting here today who could never truly say that it is finished? You get off to a good start. You're full of energy. But just as soon as a little breeze come your way, just as soon as somebody look at you the wrong way, just as soon as somebody don't call your name and give you the accolade that you want, you're too quick to throw in the towel. But if you wanna be like Nehemiah, you gotta learn how to finish. And it's hard to finish when you let the enemy distract your mind. You've got to learn how to keep your mind stayed on Jesus. You gotta learn how to tell the devil no and the Lord yes. I told you before, everybody does not deserve a seat in the VIP section of your mind. Everybody does not deserve your undivided attention. Sometimes you just gotta tell folk, no, I can't meet, I can't talk, I'm busy with the business of the Lord. Now get it good. Don't think you're gonna be popular. Don't think you're gonna be everybody's buddy. You gotta get your priorities right. It's better to have Jesus to be pleased with your life than for you to just please people who will sing your praises on one side of Jerusalem and then crucify you on the other side. Keep the main thing the main thing, and every day keep putting one foot in front of the other. You may not be able to get it all done on today, but get something done today. Did you hear me? Come on, Southern. The Lord is calling us to finish a great work. Did you hear me? These are not the times to discuss how we got in debt. These are the times to finish paying off the debt. Did you hear me? These are not the time to criticize how the roof got the way it is. These are not the time to discuss why is paint peeling in the Lord's house. These are the time for us to pull together and finish the good work that the Lord has put in our charge. Did you hear me? It's time to finish. Somebody needs to hear that the wages of sin is still death. But thanks be unto God. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's time to move past being a pew sitter and find a good work for your hands to do. That men will need to grow. That women will need to grow. There's a need for us to fill this building with ministry. Did you hear me? Doesn't it bother you that the church of Jesus Christ is empty throughout the week? Yes, we gather on Sunday, sing our kumbaya, tell our little Bible story. A handful of folk gather on Wednesday and say the same prayer we said last Wednesday. But throughout the week, the building is empty. Children need programming, but the Lord's house is empty. Men need direction, but the Lord's house is empty. Our sisters are leading the pack with new cases of HIV, but the Lord's house is empty. Our seniors are choosing between groceries and medicine, but the Lord's house is empty. Something is wrong with this picture and preaching won't finish, praying won't finish, singing won't finish. We need more people to say, if the Lord just wants somebody, here am I, send me. I know you don't have much to work with, but if you want to send somebody, I dare you to tell the Lord, here's my hand, do what you want to do, here's my mouth, say what you want to say, here's my feet, go where you want to go. Fence the underground when there is that crowd of people that got a made up mind to work until finish. When that's our mindset, we won't have to wait until work. worship is halfway over to feel his presence, there's something about a mind to serve the Lord. It'll make you feel the presence of the Lord as soon as you walk home to holy ground. I know why the songwriter said it come into his gate with thanksgiving and in to his court with praise. There's power when a group of soldiers get together with a mind to fight a good fight. There's power when a group of God's people gather with a mind to serve the Lord. Good morning, Southern. Thank you for your time. Let me share my determination. I'm determined to finish the good work that the Lord has assigned my hand to do. And I'm so thankful that my preaching friend, Dr. Mack, told us just a couple of weeks ago now, I'm fired up about my future. Did you hear me? I'm fired up about what the Lord is going to do. Let me tell the truth. Can I be honest? I'm not fired up about what I see. I'm not fired up about the data in my hand. I'm not fired up about the reports that I'm reading. But I'm fired up about what I believe. I believe that eyes have not seen. I believe that ears have not heard. I believe hearts have not imagined what God has already prepared for those who love him. I'm fired up because I believe he's still able to do abundantly, exceedingly, over and beyond whatsoever I ask, whatsoever I think. I'm fired up because I believe that he's still working things out for the good of those who love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. I'm fired up because I don't believe he's brought us this far just to leave us now. You mark my words, the best is yet to come. If you're excited about yesterday, I dare you to make it through the weeping and through the wailing of the night. If you think yesterday was all of that, I dare you to make it to the morning. There's joy. I said joy. Joy coming in the morning. God bless your heart. I'm preaching too long, but my help, I said my help has made it in the room. And I just want you to know I'm thankful to be on the program. I'm thankful that my name is on the roster. And I'm glad that I learned at an early age that serving the Lord showed up will pay off after a while. Can I get a witness that no serving the Lord, I said serving the Lord, showed up will, showed up will, showed up will pay off? Yeah! going to. I dare you to make up in your mind that I'm going to finish what God has assigned me to do. It may be amazing, but it is no secret what God can do. Whatever He's done for others, He can do that and so much more for you. The best is yet to come. If you can just hold your hope, if you can just hold on through the night, there's some joy in the morning that'll make you forget the weeping and wailing of the night. But you gotta finish. You can't quit because I'm tired. Can't quit because you keep running into potholes. Can't quit because it's hard. If it was easy, everybody'd be doing it. God has a good work for you. And if you finish, you'll be surprised what God can do in your life. Would you stand? The invitation is extended. If things are not well between God and yourself, what a marvelous day. What a marvelous place to come on over on the Lord's side. Come on, let the Lord do something with you. You're already here.